There's been a lot of buzz lately about the booming Silicon Valley, but tech is not the only part of California's economy that's thriving. Up north, another region has developed a catchy nickname. They call it the Emerald Triangle. Humboldt, Trinity, and Mendocino counties, and its growth industry is marijuana. In Mendocino specifically, the gradual decline of the lumber trade has led to pot becoming one of the county's major commercial crops over the last decade. For the federal government, marijuana production is still a major crime, one that can land you in prison for decades. But cultivating and selling the drug for medical use is legal in Mendocino County. What does it mean for a whole community to evolve around a legally ambiguous business? KALW's Daphne Matsuraki spent a day on a licensed medical marijuana farm to give us a behind-the-scenes look into the process. A note to our listeners, all characters in the story asked to remain anonymous. We gave them pseudonyms.
The marijuana farm is on a dirt road between Mendocino and Conche, around 2.5 hours from San Francisco. When I get there, the gate is wide open. It's a beautiful plot of land.
We look out over conifer trees to a valley with a beautiful ridge on the other side. This is like a million-dollar view.
Literally. This is one of the owners of this very profitable operation. We'll call him Tom. He works with a couple to run this farm. We'll call them John and Amy.
When we started here, this entire area was all like a struggling apple orchard.
John moved here with Amy and their daughter 8 years ago to grow weed. At the time, John was a carpenter and Amy a teacher.
She drugged me out here because her entire family migrated.
First, he had to learn the basics of farming marijuana, but quickly he became an expert.
After 3 years of living in California, I started experimenting with like organic farming, and that changed everything, really, on quality and yield and everything.
Now the garden has 25 marijuana plants, each about 6 feet tall. John's partner, Tom, is also a chef and a winemaker. He compares growing weed to growing grapes.
The process is very similar. You know, with bud, it's like you're it's about the crystallization. You look at it, the color, how it's finished, various things like that.
And these traits translate into quality and profit.
We're probably making about $1,000 profit on every pound.
So how many pounds were there, you said?
About 170. So
$170,000
divided by two, that would be
$85,000.
And that's one outdoor growing season. They also grow indoors, so in a year, they're potentially making over $500,000, untaxed, of course.
So now are we going to the drying room?
This is the drying room.
Oh, it smells of marijuana.
Yes, it does. So this is an actual indoor growing facility that we converted into a drying facility just for the time of the outdoor harvest.
The buds hung here for about a week after being harvested from the plants. When the indoor growing begins, this room will be filled with seedlings grown under artificial light.
No, we do 99 on the indoor.
Is that allowed?
That's the federal allowance. Anything over 99 plants, the federal government can prosecute the mandatory minimum in California.
They could prosecute you for one, but they wouldn't mess around with that, basically, is what you mean, right?
No.
I felt like no matter what federally you were...
So let's pause here for a minute. Because this is where the legal gray area gets grayer. Even Amy and John don't seem to know where the law stands. See, John, Amy and Tom have a license from the county to grow 25 plants for medical use. But obviously, at 99 plants, their indoor facility would far exceed that. The rule of thumb among growers is if you stay under 100, you're safe. I called a local dispensary to confirm this, and the director said federally, even one plant is illegal. But a grower is more likely to be prosecuted if he grows over 99 plants. Last year, their partners say their harvest was interrupted by federal helicopters. Agents came down on ropes and chopped down their entire crop. That's about $200,000 worth of weed.
It's such a weird gray area. For us, they came in and they chopped them, but they didn't prosecute. But if we would have had 100 plants, they could have brought in the federal part and prosecuted for mandatory minimum in California.
Which is 5 years. But his wife, Amy, says that she doesn't lose any sleep over their business.
Compared to some people have 1,000 plants.
And
those people are afraid all summer long.
After the weed is dried, it's time to trim it.
I'm picking up a bud and then taking off the big leaf and then making it into a pretty shape and cutting the stem.
Inside a tent, there are grocery bags of weed everywhere. People have come here from all over the world to trim.
I'm from Canada, from Vancouver, and I live in Mexico.
This woman has been here for 2 months, but others have become local full-time trimmers.
I've lived in Mendo for just over 4 years.
At first, this local trimmer had a regular tax-paying job.
And, of course, you can't necessarily make a living off of that. And when you spend a little bit of time here and learn what the industry is here, you learn that that's actually how you can either supplement an income or change your income completely.
It's long, mind-numbing work. But if the weed is easy to trim, a fast worker can turn around 3 pounds in a day, making about $175 per pound. Apart from the financial benefits, she says there are other perks that draw people here.
I think a lot of us are calling our present job site Weedtopia. We have a chef who is cooking for us every day. They provide us with anything that we ask. Music, entertainment, good conversation, the random people that you meet. It's all fantastic.
I find two other trimmers on their lunch break who have been in the business for a long time.
My parents grew growing up, so I started trimming like 8 years old or so.
For me, I would say kind of off and on from when I was about like 16 until now. I'm 34 now. And
for them, the marijuana industry is a way of life. They believe in the healing and the medicinal values of the herb, but they're still not open about what they do.
Obviously, when I meet a lot of people, it's not the first thing I tell them about myself. I mean, I am a mother, too.
The entire community is in a similar position. For instance, the growers, John and Amy, have a 7-year-old daughter who regularly comes in and out of the farm. They say it's normal for her.
Because that's what all of her friends' parents do as well.
Even some of her teachers. But there is a very clear social rule around here.
If I'll go into my daughter's school and talk to somebody, a teacher or somebody else there, you know, they would never, ever ask you, what do you do for a living? Because they know better, because they don't want to, like, they don't want you to put you in a position where you have to lie to them.
Perhaps the most dangerous part of the pot growing operation comes at the very end, the delivery. It's the riskiest step because it means leaving the safe haven of Mendocino.
It's going to Los Angeles. That's our hub.
Who takes it from here to go to who? I'm another one.
Me. Yeah, me.
How much? So you drive with how much weed on you?
Legally, 49 pounds at a time. With our particular license, 49 and under, you have a really good case. But anything over 50 and up, you're in big trouble.
And where do you put the weed?
In the back of my trunk.
Like what in?
In bags.
Okay.
Duffel bags.
Is your heart racing when you do that?
No, it's just, I have my whole little, like,
it's a mindset.
It's a mindset. I just blow kisses and say, Daddy will be back in 3 days, and I go.
And are you worried?
Mm-hmm. I just try not to think about it. And then when I get the message, somehow he'll get a message to me that he's there. And then, whew,
despite the high risks and uncertainty, John and Amy actually prefer their business stay as it is, illegal. They're afraid of what would happen to their bottom line if they had more competition. But their partner Tom sees it differently.
You still can get your price if you do a boutique, high-end quality product. It's the same in the wine.
Would you rather it be legal or are you?
I don't care, because it's no different than growing grapes. There's always a high-end market.
Hey, Dad saw you earlier.
And just like at the end of a grape harvest, this weed-growing season ends with a party. All the workers gather around a big bonfire, burning what's left of the marijuana plants. You can almost forget that these people are in hiding, because they're hiding in the open. In Mendocino, I'm Daphne Mazziaracchi for Cross Currents.